The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Thursday's racing on this edition, and a good Thursday coming up as well. It's all live on Racing Radio from 1:35pm with Mick Norton, John Budden and Gareth Topham in the studio. It's day two of Chester's May meeting. There's also jumps racing from Newton Abbott and all-weather racing at Southwell on Thursday afternoon. And we'll finish the day with three meetings, two jumpers domestically, one from Carlisle, one from Wincanton, and there's Irish racing from Clonmel. So plenty to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me in the studio to look ahead to the action, hey, Mr. Chris Pimlott. How are you, Pimmy?
I'm very well indeed, Mark. Very well indeed. Looking forward to this May Festival at Chester. Great racing on the opening day. Great racing on the day that we're going to look towards. And obviously on the Friday, some cracking stuff. Then we get a little bit of a break at the weekend. And then the flat season starts next week.
Yeah.
The Dante Festival, York. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Racing will come alive.
Are you frequenting York this year, Pimmy?
I would be bitterly disappointed if I didn't make some appearance. Certainly, yes. Yeah. So we would more than likely try the Wednesday and see how we get on.
Yeah, see if you survive Thursday and Friday afterwards.
Correct.
Good man. Well, we'll look forward to that next week. We've got great racing at Chester, as you mentioned, this week. The flat season really kicking into gear. And I suppose that was signalled by the weekend, the first two classics of the season, Pimmy. The 1,000 guineas and the 2,000 guineas at Newmarket. Obviously, with the Derby trial taking place on Thursday, the Chester Vase, we'll come on to that in a little bit more detail shortly. But from the 2,000 guineas, did you see any potential Derby credentials? I mean, Australia was third in the race, and he's now the favourite for the Derby. He was trimmed into 7-4. He's now 6-4. Oof. For the Derby. Did you see enough clues there to make you think he was a Derby horse?
I thought he ran really well, and I thought the step up in trip's really going to suit him, and you know, there are plenty of ticks in boxes, but I thought it was an unsatisfactory race because of the way the race was run. I thought some post-race interviews were interesting when John Gosden and Teddy Grimthorpe said they'd won their race on their side, so to speak.
Yeah.
But actually, the winner was on their side until he's drifted right across the track. So he hasn't actually won his race on their side because the winner has actually been on that side till he's come across the track. So again, if the winner had kept straight, just how far would he have won by?
Yeah.
You know, so I think prior to the day, you think, you know, the winner, big price, had no chance. But actually, as it's worked out, he's proved to be a very capable horse indeed. And I think he's been possibly not given the credit he deserves for that success.
No, he definitely deserved it, given the way that he drifted across the track and still won. Do you think if he had, do you think that what they're saying is Kingman just needed something to race against on that side? And the fact that Knight of Thunder has drifted across, Kingman's like, hasn't got anybody next to him to keep him going, kind of thing.
Well, but he hasn't, but knows the winner because he's going off a straight line to race against Fresh Air, isn't he?
Yeah.
So, you know, I think the clutching at straws when they're trying to make a case like that, I mean, at the end of the day, I think the best horse won.
Yeah.
Whether we run the race again and they all stuck in a group together, either up the middle or up one side or the other, would we get a different result? More than likely we would.
That's the imponderable, isn't it?
But that's how it goes. And again, I suppose you look at yourself and say, well, you know, were our tactics right?
Mm.
Well, again, that remains to be seen. We'll see. There's one thing for certain in the Derby, they won't be coming in three groups, will they?
No, I don't think they will. Yeah, and we've obviously got a few clues in respect to the Derby on Thursday. Aidan O'Brien won the race last year with the Ruler of the World, and we will move on to that race shortly, the Chester Vase, and get Pimmy's thoughts on that, because obviously it could all change again on Thursday. But before we get there, Pimmy, obviously good racing just gone by. Anything else to scream out to you from the weekend or anything?
No, I just didn't think there was anything that really stood out in my mind other than the two classics. I just feel like you, though, Mark, that the racing's now really setting into top gear now. Yeah. If we just get some nice sunshine to go with it, boost the crowds, and hopefully it's going to be the start of another very special flat season.
OK, well, let's get stuck into Thursday's action, then we'll get Pimmy's thoughts on three races at Chester in just a moment.
William Hill Racing Radio. From the first race until the last, it's everything to give you the inside track.
Right then, day two of the Chester May meeting. Some more excellent racing coming on the Rudy. And the first race that we're going to look at is the 2:15. This is a Group 3. It's the Huxley Stakes and it's for the Tradesman's Cup. And we have betting on site as well for this and the Chester Vase. So you can have a bet on those two races now. The betting for the Huxley Stakes is headed by Noble Mission, who's 5-2. Ekti Harm is 11-4 with Telescope. Dana Dana is 9-1. 12-1 for Highland Knight and Gabriel's Car Car. Edu Corrido is 14-1, and then bigger prices the rest. Alfonso de Souza, betting has been suspended on him, so I'm not sure if he will be running or not. But either way, we've got Noble Mission at the top of the betting. Pimi comes here in winning form, obviously brother to Frankel, so obviously people expect quite a lot of him. How do you think he'll get on in the 2:15?
Yeah, I mean, he's worthy favourite with the form that he showed at Sandown last time in that Group 3, when, to be fair, I thought he had a very soft lead. I think they gave him an easy lead. He got plenty of rope from the opposition. And I think it'll be a different ball game tomorrow. And I also feel connections with Telescope were very negative prior to that Sandown race, weren't they? He basically said he's not fit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it would be interesting to know what our paddock guru, Ken Pitterson, thought of him on that afternoon. But certainly that was the vibes that you got from the Stout team, that he wasn't fit. He wasn't ready to do himself justice.
A lot of Stout runners have needed the run this season as well.
He's obviously held in high regard. And I think it could be a different ball game. 9 lengths is an awful lot to turn around, admittedly. But I just feel, hopefully they're coming here a lot more positive, a lot fitter, and hopefully they're going to ride the horse a lot more positively as well. So I think Noble Mission's worthy favourite on what he showed at Sandown, but I do feel that there's more to come from Telescope, and although he's been a bit of a Mr. Ed throughout his career, I do feel that this Group 3 could well be in his compass. So Telescope it is for me for the Tradesman Cup.
Okay, Alfonso de Souza, I can confirm, is a non-runner. So you think it's going to go Telescope's way. Do you see it between just Noble Mission and Telescope, or could you give something else a chance in here?
Well, Dan Dana won it well last year, didn't he, for the Kamani Yard. He comes here as a major player again. A little bit to do at the weights. Highland Knight ran a cracker in defeat last time. I tipped him up when he was a 25-1 shot, and second at Lingfield in that condition stakes last time. So he's a player, but I think he's got a little bit to find. And the other horse is Iktiham, who's interesting from the Varian Yard. On official ratings, he comes here with a bit of a squeak. And, you know, last time we saw him, he led and then weakened, tailed off. That run was too bad to be true in that mile and a half Group 1 last time we saw him. So we've got to forgive him for that and then hope that he can bounce back to some sort of form. But again, on official figures, he wouldn't be without a chance if he's back to his best. Gabriel's Kaka, obviously, his owner is desperate to have winners here at Chester. But again, a little bit to find Gabriel's Kaka.
OK. Do you think the draw will play a part in this race as well?
I don't think so, no. You've only got 7 runners going to post.
Yeah.
It's not a big deal, is it?
No. And it's a mile and a quarter as well, isn't it? So a bit of time to get over it.
Yeah.
OK, let's move on to the 2:45 then, the big race of the day at Chester. It's the Chester Vase, which is a Group 3 over a mile and a half, a Derby trial. We saw last year's Derby winner come out of this race in the shape of Ruler of the World. That was, of course, trained by Aidan O'Brien. He has a couple in the field this year, Carlo Bugatti and Orchestra for Aidan O'Brien in there. We've got betting on site as well, as I mentioned, and Carlo Bugatti is the 11-4 favourite, Orchestra 4-1 second favourite, Romsdale 9-2, Seagull Star 5-1, Scotland 7s, Stars Over the Sea is 10s, and the 16-1 or bigger prices the rest. So the betting is very much surrounding the two Aidan O'Brien runners. Do you see him winning it?
I think he'll win it, yeah. I mean, he has a 50% strike rate here at Chester, so, you know, 1 in 2 is going to win for him. And he's double-handed here with Carlo Briganti and Orchestra. And I'm going to side with Orchestra, to be perfectly honest. Carlo Briganti, already they're going for the blinkers for him, so that's a slight concern. He was 4th of 8 behind Fascinating Rocket at Navan earlier this year. That was a Group 3 race, and I just feel that he possibly underachieved there, and because of that underachieving, they've gone for the headgear. Obviously, Joseph O'Brien taking the mount on Carlo Briganti possibly sways you that that's the first choice of the yard, but I think Orchestra's a little bit more to come from him, beaten on his debut, and then he did really nicely winning at Tipperary over 7 furlongs in August. Okay, It was no great shakes of a race, but he could do no more than he won. He's sure to have progressed. 259 days since we've last saw him. One thing for certain, he'll not lack fitness. He'll be here to do himself justice. And I just think he could overturn his stablemate. Of the others, I thought Romsdal's interesting from the Gosden Yard. William Buick, a bit slow to go when we last saw him, but he ran on really well at Kempton. That was obviously only a maiden auction, but he could do no more than win. His profile is progressive. And I could see him really upping his game tomorrow afternoon. After that, I thought there wasn't a real great deal of strength in depth. And I'd be very, very surprised if you see the 2014 Derby winner in this field tomorrow.
Okay, so maybe no ruler of the world in the field, but Aidan O'Brien has won this race 4 of the last 7 renewals, so he obviously targets it. His two are at the top of the betting. You're taking Orchestra then, Pimia?
Orchestra, yeah, rather than his stable companion, Carlo Briganti.
Okay, hopefully Ryan Moore can get a tune out of him.
Oh, yes, indeed. Yeah, pluck the strings of your heart if he wins.
Happy days. The 3.15 at Chester then is the next race we're going to look at, and this is the Boodle's Diamond Handicap, a Class 2 handicap over the extended 7 furlongs, and 9 of them in the lineup here, and I suppose a lot of people are going to be drawn to Matila, who's unbeaten so far, 2 from 2 for Mark Johnson, and Paul Hannigan has been in fine form of late as well, Pimmy.
Yeah, he has indeed, yeah, and certainly it's been interesting, this Matila. He made all and dotted up at Beverley over 7 furlongs last time out. Again, it was a 0-95. Ups its game a little bit again here tomorrow, but profile is very, very progressive, and I think there's more to come from this fella. Official rating of 87. I think there's a lot more to come from him, and yeah, it'd be interesting to see how he goes. Drawn 8, slight negative, but again, he usually jumps and sets a good pace, so he should be there, certainly there or thereabouts, coming out the starting stalls. Obviously, you've got Dr. Marwan Kukash doubly represented with R. Gabriel and Brian Noble. Obviously, he loves having success here at Chester. His Brian Noble was slow to go on debut. Did it really well, to be honest, when beating Rogue Wave. Little bit more to come from him to be a player tomorrow, especially with only that one run of his career. And the other horse that Marwan's got is R. Gabriel. Well, he's tough, consistent, always seems to run really well. And again, he's sure to be in the firing line tomorrow afternoon. But I feel that Matila has got a very, very progressive profile, and I'd be bitterly disappointed if he doesn't land the spoils tomorrow. Mark Johnson, a 16% strike rate around Chester. Jockey Paul Hannigan, 19%.
Very good stuff. Okay, let's have a quick summary, Pimmy, if you wouldn't mind spinning us through your three for Chester, day two of the May meeting.
Yeah, well, looking forward to it. Day two of the May meeting, and in that 2.15, the Huxley Stakes for the Tradesman's Cup, I'm going to take a chance with Telescope for Sir Michael Stout and Ryan Moore. In the feature race of the afternoon, the 2.45, it's the Chester Vars with a Group 3 status. Going to go for the second string of Aidan O'Brien's in the shape of Orchestra. And in the 3.15, it's the handicap over 7 furlongs. Going to go for the much touted and hopefully much more to come from number 2, Matila.
Okay, good stuff, Pimmy. Thank you very much. Enjoy it on Thursday. So there you go, the thoughts of Chris Pimlott on Thursday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:35 p.m. We'll have all of the action on day two of Chester's May meeting. We'll also have Newton Abbott and Southwell in the afternoon, Carlisle and Wincanton in the evening domestically, and there's an evening card from Clonmel over in Ireland. There's also plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Thursday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.